Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long will you tarry? Be gracious to your servants.
Satisfy us by your steadfast love in the morning, so that we rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you afflicted us, and as many years as you suffered adversity.
Show your servants your works and your splendor to their children.
May the graciousness of the Lord our God be upon us. Cause us to the work of our hands, cause us for our handiwork.
A reading from Hebrews. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or siblings or parents or children or fields for my sake, for the sake of the good news. You will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, siblings, mothers, and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of our Lord. Today's gospel reading has a lot going on in it, and we can get hung up on a few different things because there's a lot that we can get stuck on, a lot of things that we can discuss, a lot of things that concern us and may scare us, and a whole lot of things that make us uncomfortable. Jesus' words about being wealthy and being unable to enter the realm of God are uncomfortable. It makes us wonder where we fall when we live in the relative comfort of the USA. Wealth is something that is incredibly hard to tackle, because what makes one wealthy? Where's the line Jesus is talking about? Each and every one of us can identify someone that has more than us. So we are comparatively poor. On the flip side, however, we can identify someone who has less than us, and we are comparatively wealthy. We live in the space of in between. There is no simple line that defines what is wealthy and how Jesus views those who are rich and where that line sits. So we often wonder, where does that leave us? And this wondering and confusion can make it hard to focus on anything else in the text. And because of this, it requires a recasting of exactly how we see wealth. Historically, and even now, many people view wealth as something that shows God's favor. This is certainly the time in Jesus's time, certainly the view in Jesus's time, which is why the man was so shocked being told he should give everything away. And then the disciples were shocked too. Why is Jesus asking the man to give away what came from God, was their thought. And ultimately, what it comes down to is this. Wealth is not about God favoring one person over another. All of what we have comes from God, yes. But it's not about who has more favor with God. It is a gift, just as every breath we take, our health, our families, our friends, and everything in our lives. So instead of focusing on wealth as something that shows favor, it's about being a gift from God and something that we should steward the proper way. For wealth is something that we have. Full stop. No comparing our wealth to those who may have more. It is a double-edged sword because it can be used to provide for ourselves and families, but it can also be used to excess. And we see this play out in the reaction of the rich man. He is shocked. Shocked that he would ever be asked to give up everything he owns. And when he hears the charge that Jesus gives him to give it all up, he walks away. We don't know exactly what happens to him. Maybe he went back to his life as normal, business as usual. Maybe he went and did as Jesus commanded. Mark leaves this up in the air, and we simply just don't know. So we don't have closure on what happens to this man. And sitting in this space of not knowing is hard, because we want that closure, we want that answer. And sitting in this space of not knowing is where Jesus is calling us to be. For Jesus isn't calling us to give just up our wealth. Jesus is calling us into the unknown, to sit in the spaces where discomfort arises within ourselves. It's about doing our best to live into God's call for our lives without knowing how it will go. The rich man was fearful because what would happen if he gave it all up? Because if he did that, he wouldn't be able to rely on himself to provide for himself. He would have to give up the illusion that he is the one in control. That's the challenge that Jesus is giving this man. It's about more than just wealth or money. It's about how we cling to the illusion that we are the ones in control. For we cannot force ourselves or a camel through the eye of a needle, no matter what, because we are not in control. This underlying thought is the premise of Jesus asking the rich man to give it all up. He's asking the man to stop relying on himself and begin to rely on God. It is only when we give up the attempts to control our lives that we can fully embrace the lives that God intends for us. For in walking away from our attempts to control our lives, we can find what Jesus promises, a new family and a new life. It's similar and echoes the idea that the one who wants to save their life must lose it first. While we are called into a life where we do not attempt to be in control, it's hard and we will fail at. Jesus says that all that we receive will come with problems, so that does not mean that our lives will be perfect and trouble-free. And that's what makes it even harder to take away and walk away from that control. But in the moments we cannot give up control, God gives you grace. God gives you the freedom. This freedom isn't about being free to do as we please, but rather the freedom from the fear that drives us in attempting to control our lives. From that freedom, we can serve the other and live into the lives that Jesus calls us to, a life to serve our neighbor. Don't be afraid to sit in the moments of discomfort. Don't be afraid to enter into the unknown. Don't be afraid to give it all up and follow Jesus. For in the moments when you sit in the discomfort, enter into the unknown, and give it all up to follow Jesus, God will meet you and be with you. You can't force yourself or a camel through the needle's eye, but through Jesus, the need to go through the eye of the needle is eliminated, and we are reconciled to God by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.